As we talk about new beginnings, maybe you're a born-again Christian today, but you've stumbled. Maybe you stumbled out of the gate. Maybe you've stumbled recently. Maybe you're struggling in some way. Maybe you're burdened in some way. Maybe you're fearful today. Maybe you're just dazed at what's going on in your life at this time. And maybe you're running on fumes. And maybe I'm describing you right now. Just remember, we serve a God of new beginnings. And in Revelation 21:5 again, the Bible says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new."
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Welcome to Pulpit Power, featuring Pastor Tony Skeving, senior pastor of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Today's message was previously preached before a church audience. And now, here's Pastor Skeving.
Well, let's take our Bibles, please, at this time, and turn back to the Old Testament book of Isaiah and the 43rd chapter, Isaiah chapter 43. We find here a glorious passage from the Word of God, something that was written 700 years before the time of Christ, or roughly about 2,700 years ago, and it deals with the subject of a fresh beginning. A fresh beginning. And I don't know about you, but I like fresh beginnings. I like new beginnings. And in Isaiah chapter 43, and in verse 15, starting there, God's talking. He says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters." Now, God starts out here by telling us, or at least reminding us, who he is. He says in verse 16, "I am the Lord." That word is Jehovah. It's all caps there, L-O-R-D. "I'm Jehovah, which maketh the way in the sea and in the path of the mighty waters." And figuratively speaking, maybe you're going through some things today. You're going through those times of mighty waters. You're going through the sea, but God makes a path through that. And then you skip down to verse number 18. He says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Notice backing up to verse 18. He says, "Remember ye not," notice, "the former things, neither consider the things of old." We're going to be talking today about a fresh beginning, a fresh beginning. But let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of the year. When we think of new beginnings, rebooting, resetting, and Father, I just pray that you'd help us as God's people to listen carefully. There may be some things in our lives that we need to restart. Help us to listen now and to get what you'd have for us. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've never done time in a penitentiary, but I have heard stories of men who were in for years and they did their time. They served their sentence. And when the day would come, they would go into the warden's office and they would have on a new suit that they had been given by one of the guards, fresh change of clothes, new tie and all that. The warden would give them their little pep talk and turn them back out into society with the fresh suit of clothes on, kind of symbolic of the fact, hey, this is a fresh start. This is a new start. There's something about fresh starts. There's something about rebooting life. And I think really pretty much all of us like this. And so it is with like a high school graduation. I still remember starting out school in kindergarten where it was all fun and games for half a day, coloring and playing. And then first grade came around and that changed everything. I mean, we sat there for 6 hours instead of three and it was work. You had to learn. I just remember looking at the clock as a kid thinking, how many years do I have left of this? I was counting the minutes until graduation. And I'll never forget that night, May 26, 1978, when I donned the purple gown and the cap, and I walked the aisle and got up there and did the old tassel thing, and woohoo, I was done with my education as far as the high school goes. It was like a fresh start. It was like a new start. And really, when it comes to life, we like those. It could be a number of things that reboot us. It could be cleaning the garage or just something about it. You would just feel like, woohoo! It could be a new season where spring changes to summer. and you go, this is a fresh start. It could be anything where it's a commencement upon a new phase in life. And we might set new goals. That's a fresh start. Well, the Bible says in Philippians 3 and in verse number 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, this is written by the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul of all people really perhaps wanted to forget those things that were behind. He had committed murder of Christians of all things. And in his ignorance and in his folly, he had done some things that he should not have done. But God saved him, and he moves on. And he has an illustrious career, if we want to call it that, with multitudes of folks saved and churches planted. And Paul the Apostle, under Holy Spirit inspiration, writes from a dungeon. And he speaks of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. That's what God's people need to do. We need those fresh beginnings. And they're fresh every day. We read in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Notice this, they are new every morning. His compassions fail not. God resets your life daily. And for a believer, that's a glorious thought. Because 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And yes, outwardly we're aging and we're perishing, and we're one day closer really to the grave if the Lord should tarry. But this inward man, it's renewed day by day. Now back here in Isaiah 43, God had rebuked his people. The Jews had been acting up. He was showing his displeasure toward their behavior. And so he rebukes them, but now it's time to pour in the oil. Now it's time to reboot, to restart. And it's time to comfort them. And he's talking here about a fresh beginning. As we look at the subject today, we see, first of all, in a fresh beginning, there's that crucial forgiveness. Crucial forgiveness. I talked about this on Wednesday night, the forgiveness angle. And I looked at Ephesians 4:32, which says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Notice the as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We are to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Well, as God is toward us, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God's forgiven us at salvation. In fact, the night I got saved, it was a total reboot. It was a total reset of my life. And so we have been forgiven, and we in turn are to turn around now and forgive others. Is there anyone today that you have ill will toward? Is there anyone today that you can think of that comes to mind you're harboring a grudge toward? Just be honest. If you were to be honest, you would say, you know, I resent this person. It's something that really is naturally within the human heart to get bitter and to be at odds with people. There's something in human nature. We live on a crowded planet of 7.5 billion people, and we live in this world where no two of us are alike, kind of like two snowflakes. No two of us are alike. We are very, very different. We have different looks. We have different loves. We have different opinions. We have different paths. And the point is, we are bound to clash at times. And we do clash at times. Well, we have folks here today. You have a different sense of perhaps justice than somebody sitting next to you, or a different sense of mercy than the person sitting next to you. You think differently. You have different, views on what's right and what's wrong. And you have different pet peeves. We have husbands and wives sitting here today. And I think if you're to be honest, you've had times where you've had little falling outs. I know very few husbands and wives who have never had a falling out. We have siblings sitting here today. Brothers and sisters who doubt no have clashed in the past, and that would be expected. You know, I've seen those clashes take place within business operators, within co-workers, within church members, within Americans. We don't even get along in this country. We are so polarized. In a country of 350 million people, we are so different. Now, we share the same highways, and we share the same hallways, and we share the same hallowed halls of higher education, and we share the same hospitals, and we stand shoulder to shoulder, and we eat at the same restaurants, and we shop at the same stores. But we still have clashes, do we not? There are going to be problems amongst us. Because you mix into all of that the sin nature, and we're going to have some issues. We are prone to lying, to pride, to selfishness, to stubbornness, to depravity in general. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ had a not-so-flattering resume to sum us up. In Matthew 15:18, he said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies," and I've shortened the list. There you have it, folks. We are sinners by nature. And we like to talk about world peace. Oh, world peace. But we have roommates who can't even get along. We have siblings who can't even get along. We have spouses who can't get along. We have Christians who can't get along. We have church members who can't get along. We would think that this is the one place where we could all get along. But there's no place where we're all going to get along, because we bring our sin nature into whatever place it might be. We have a problem. So what do we do here? Well, back to Ephesians 4:32. "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Can we do that? Can we forgive one another? Can we let it go? Can we cut some slack? Can we move on? That's a fresh beginning. We see in that fresh beginning, first of all, the crucial forgiveness, but secondly, the complete forgetting. Now, back in our text here in Isaiah 43 and verse number 18, God says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Have you ever been lost in the wilderness and you've scratched your head going, "Where do I go?" And God talks here about making a way in the wilderness. And then he mentions the desert. I don't know if you've ever been stranded out in a desert. But if you're out in the desert, you're hot and dehydrated. The one thing you want is water. He speaks here of a river in the desert. He's talking here about a new beginning. And that beginning is going to really include having to completely forget some things. Now, I find three very glorious verses in the Bible about God's demeanor when it comes to our sins once we've been forgiven. Here they are. Isaiah 38:17, the prophet said to God, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Can you picture that? God casting our sins behind his back, and he doesn't turn around and look back there. It's back there, and he is looking the other way. He forgives us. He casts our sins behind his back. We are forgiven. You know, there's a tombstone in upstate New York. And who's buried in it? We have no idea. When he was born, no clue. When he died, we don't know. There's no eulogy. There's no epitaph. It just has one word on that tombstone: forgiven. Forgiven. That's all that fellow wanted this world to know about him as he departed this side. Is he was forgiven. Probably a born-again Christian. His sins were forgiven. You know, in Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east is from the west, God has removed his transgressions from us. Think about that for just a moment. The east and the west never meet. Now, you can get in a jet and you can fly north, 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 and you'll hit the North Pole. And you go over the top of the world, and then you go south, 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 south. And then you'll get down to the Antarctic, and you'll flip around, and you'll go north, 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 north. But if you head west, you're going to just keep going west. Or if you head east, you're going to just keep going east. The east and the west never meet. And the Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he," God, "removed our transgressions from us." That's a glorious truth. But here's the third one. In Micah 7 and verse 19, the Bible says, "He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the ocean." Imagine him throwing your sins in the depths of the ocean. There's places in the ocean where it's miles deep. God throws our sins there. And he puts up a no fishing sign there. Don't go digging and dredging them back up again. "He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities." The prophet says, "And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the ocean." We have a God who loves fresh beginnings. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. We have a God who says, I am ready to forgive and I am ready to move on. Thank God for that. We read in Hebrews 10:17, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God says, I'm going to forget them. Their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. Now, that's hard for us to imagine, folks, because we're so unlike that. It's not our nature to just kind of put it aside and move on. But God does. We don't forget sin, and we should, because life's too short. But in verse number 18, God says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Back when I was in Bible college, and I was talking about roommates a moment ago, I had a couple of roommates, and boy, they would just kind of build, and then clash. And when they did, it wasn't really the part of the one guy so much as the other. That guy would just, he would bring up everything that roommate had done in the past. And then the other guy, he wouldn't remember anything because he just kind of let stuff go. That was just his demeanor. What do we do when it comes to the offenses of others? You know, the human brain is like a computer. And it can store up absolutely everything. And they run the right frequency through it, and it'll bring back, you'll recollect every memory from your childhood. And they talk about when you die, your whole life flashing before you. It's all there. In fact, when folks stand before God at the great white throne judgment, all he has to do is press the replay. It's all recorded there in their mind, in their brain. We have this computer, and if you push the right button, it'll recall anything. Well, God says in our text here, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Sometimes I've counseled married couples over the past third of a century, and I tell you, there has been some issues and some problems between him and her that's like a Gordian knot. And you just go, I don't see any way of untying this thing. There's so much excessive baggage here. There's such a mess from the past. It's like tangled up spaghetti, and it's too complex. There's so much water under the bridge at that point. And if you're a couple today and you have issues in your marriage, I want you to know you're not alone. You are not alone. But if you are a couple who has issues in your marriage or has had or will have, would you consider our text here? Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Would you be willing to put it behind you? Would you be willing to move on? Would you be willing to reboot and make a fresh beginning? You know, I listen to a lot of, couples dredge up stuff. And every time a couple has a fight, it's kind of like they were this close, and then they have a fight, and then they come back this close. And then they have another blow up, and they come back this close. And then they have another falling out, and they come back this close. And so many married couples are out here. They just really haven't come back to where they once were. And over the years, it's just not married couples. I've counseled, like I said, roommates, business associates, friends, family members, church members. And by the way, as you counsel, you hear one side of it. And the gal comes in and describes the problem with her husband. And by the time she leaves, you think, this guy's Ahab. And then the guy comes in and describes his wife. By the time he leaves, you go, that gal's Jezebel. And really, there's two sides to all of it. They both are legitimate, and they have a case. But in verse 18, God says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Maybe you've made mistakes. Everybody has. I've seen teenage girls get pregnant out of wedlock, give that baby up for adoption and try to move on. And it's a hard lesson to learn because Christians make mistakes, but God forgives you for that. But there is such a thing as a fresh start. There's a new beginning. You get on with life. It's so short as it is. It just flies by. Folks, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And Christians make mistakes. And some of those mistakes, they're hard to learn. They're hard to bear. And sadly, there's always going to be the Pharisees who jump on you, sometimes even Christian people. And it's like they get a rope and say, hang them, you know, they made this mistake and let's make them pay. You know, be careful when it comes to being a Pharisee, being part of the Sanhedrin. What goes around comes around. It really does when it comes to justice. You need to remember something. In James 2:13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. That's a sobering, sobering verse, friend. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. Furthermore, we read in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You say, well, look what that guy did. Get him, hang him. Well, wait a minute. Let him that thinketh he standeth, and notice the word thinketh, take heed lest he fall. Don't do any of that hang him stuff. Reminds me back when the Civil War was wrapping up in 1865. The North was trying to figure out what to do with the South. North was victorious, and there were politicians that made up the cabinet there of Lincoln, and Lincoln was talking to his cabinet. And he said, well, what do we do with the South, gentlemen? And one guy hollered out, hang him, hang him. And little Tad Lincoln was standing next to his dad, and he tugged on his trousers, and he looked up and he said, no, Dad, don't hang him. Hang on to him. And Lincoln looked down the face of his boy and he shook his head and he said, Tad's right, fellas. That's what we need to do. Hang on to him. Careful with that hang him stuff. In our text here, we find that God had rebuked Israel. He had punished Israel. And now it was time to go on. And there is a time to go on. You know, we can lament and we can get bitter, or we can go on, we can move on. There's really no sense in parking and lamenting what's been done that we can do nothing about. There comes a time in life to just move on. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it ruin your day. Reboot. Reboot. So we see that crucial forgiveness. We see that complete forgetting. Thirdly, we see that comforting feeling. That comforting feeling. Many years ago, Thomas Edison had a factory in Menlo Park, and it caught fire. It was a big factory. It's a big fire. And Thomas Edison, you just have to study him a little bit. He's watching this thing burn. His son comes up to him all full of anxiety and go, Dad, Dad. And he said, Sonny, go get your mom. She'll never see a fire like this again. And so his wife comes out there and joins him. And here's this burning just engulfed now. It's an inferno. And Edison turns to his wife and he said, honey, what's done is done. In a way, isn't that good? There go all our mistakes. And that's really a good thought. There go all my mistakes. Sometimes when a computer crashes, I know you lose everything, but there's also that sense of, you know what? Whatever. Let's just start over from this point. There go all my mistakes. Kind of feels good. Have you forfeited the will of God? I no doubt I'm talking to somebody who feels like they have. Well, I want to add and hasten to say, God can rework something. God can bring about something even out of that failure. You know, if you stop and you think about it, David made a colossal mistake with Bathsheba. We understand that. He really, really messed up there. And we could talk about the consequences of that. But the truth of the matter is, it was through Bathsheba that he gives birth later on to the next king of Israel, Solomon. You say, well, why did God do that? I don't know. But God can take a mess that we made and even make something out of it. And after David made that mess, you know what he wrote? In Psalm 51, verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's start over. Let's reboot. Let's reset. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Now, I'm not minimizing sin. Don't get me wrong, but I am maximizing God's grace. And there's a verse I love over in Romans 5:20. It says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know my favorite words in that verse? Much more. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace trumps the sin. And I love that. You know, God's not going to discard us after we've messed up, because the fact of the matter is, God really is going to get all that he can out of you and all that he can out of me. He cannot afford to just discard us. He's going to try and use our lives if he can, because he's made an investment in us. You know, when Moses killed that Egyptian at age 40, he wanders out into the wilderness thinking his life is over, just kind of a write-off. He's just going to fade into the sunset there and just kind of bake underneath that sun day after day watching those sheep and be obscure and just written off. But God wasn't done with him. And God shows up at the burning bush and he re-enlists Moses. By age 80, his best 40 years are ahead of him. And that's where God really determines to use him. Because I'll say it again, God's going to get all of us and all out of us that he can get out of us. Because born-again people, if you haven't noticed, are a very small percentage of the population. It's not like he's got these oodles of numbers and we're working in the majority here. No, if you study Matthew 7, you find out we're on this little narrow road and the world's on this huge wide road over there. And he doesn't have so many of us that he can just kind of discard us and cast us off and throw us away. God has to work with what he has. And so even here with Israel, he starts over again. Yeah, he's chided them, he's rebuked them, he's punished them, but now he's going to recycle them. You ever thought about that? God's in the recycling business. You know, we have enough sense to recycle plastic, don't we? And we recycle rubber tires. And we recycle batteries. And we even crush cars and recycle them. You ever seen a semi-load of crushed cars going down? They got that netting over them so the stuff doesn't fall. And there was once a perfectly good car, and it's just crushed now, and it's heading to be burned in the melting pot again and remade into something else. You know that we even recycle manure, and we cycle compost. We recycle all kinds of things here. Well, what about salvaging human beings? What about God recycling us? Here in verse 18, he says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, a new thing." God is into restoration. God is into reconstruction. God is into recycling. And the Bible's full of great verses like this one. Isaiah 48:6, he says, "I have showed thee new things from this time." All right, from this time forward, it's going to be new. Hey, don't trip over the future looking back at the past. God says, "I've showed thee new things from this time." Maybe you came from an alcoholic family, and it was not ideal. And you grew up slightly damaged, if we could say that. Maybe you grew up in a home with molestation. And sadly, I don't know if a week goes by where I don't hear from somebody who grew up in that kind of a background. Maybe you grew up promiscuous, and that's unfortunate. Maybe you grew up with an anger issue, and now you've made a mess with anger. Maybe you are selfish, or maybe your stubbornness has made a mess. I don't know what it is, but there's 101 things we could talk about. The point is, you're one of millions who have maybe messed up, who have some guilt, who have some regret from the past. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." So take counsel in that whatever it is, there's no temptation or trial or testing that has taken you, but such as is common to man. Somebody else has gone through it. You want to know the rest of the verse? "But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." We have a wonderful God that he's not going to put you through more than you can handle. And as you go through it, he's going to give you the means, the strength, the wherewithal to be able to bear it, to be able to handle it. So you need to move on. And maybe it might be time for you to shift gears, get out of reverse, live life in the present and in the future. And in fact, I put this on the overhead for you to see it. Don't allow past mistakes to hinder future victories. God has some future victories for your life. There's no question about that. And don't allow past mistakes to hinder future victories. There was an evangelist of old by the name of Jack Wurtzen. He comes from the old days. And he really, really interesting story how he got saved and what he went on to do in evangelism. And if you ever asked Jack Wurtzen how he was doing, he would say, "I'm living on the victory side. I'm living on the victory side." Well, Jack Wurtzen finally got old and died. And they buried him in upstate New York. And on his tombstone, if you ever go visit it, it'll say those words, "Now on the victory side. Now on the victory side." God help us to not live life in reverse. We read in Psalm 130 and verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" But there is forgiveness with thee. Notice, if God should keep track, if God should mark the record of a believer, of a born-again Christian, if he should mark iniquities, we're all gone. We're all done, Connors. We're all done for. Who shall stand? Nobody. But there is forgiveness with thee, the psalmist said. Now, we all have skeletons in the closet, do we not? I think if we are honest. But in verse 19, God says of our text, "Behold, I do a new thing. Shall it spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God's saying, just start from here. Just start from here. Folks, this could transform a marriage. This could transform a home, because we keep dredging up the past. I've said before, there are two words really we shouldn't use in a marriage or a home. And one is the word always, and the other is the word never. When you're having a fight, watch those two words. Will you always, or will you never? And we're dredging up the past. Well, you were late, and that was inconsiderate, and you're always late, and that's always inconsiderate, and you were late 10 years ago, and we get right back into that past. Always and never. We need to move on. We need to move on. Failed marriage, failed business, failed finances, failed morally, failure in character, whatever it is you've messed up doing, God says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Today is the first day for the rest of your life. You've heard that old expression. And we saw it a moment ago in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Did you know that dwelling on the past wrecks the future? It just does for so many people. How many of you play golf? I play golf. It's kind of using the word play roughly. But I go golfing. Let's put it that way, all right? And I don't know about you, but if you ever have a rotten hole, you know, you tee off and you slice and you end up over in the weeds and you chip out of there and you end up in the sand pit and you just chip, chip, chip all the way to the green, and finally you get up on the green and you putt your way up close and you take that last shot and you miss it by that and it's on your mind and you go tee off at the next hole, and guess what you're thinking about? That last rotten hole you golfed. And now it's going to wreck the next hole you're golfing. It just doesn't work. You say, but Pastor, I have forfeited the will of God. No, you have forfeited a will of God. Please get that straight. You may have forfeited a will of God. All right, what's God's will for you now? You know, I've said before, this Bible was written, much of it was written by three murderers. I mentioned one a moment ago. Moses was a murderer. I mentioned another one a moment ago. David was a murderer. I mentioned another one a moment ago. Paul was a murderer. They wrote much of our Bible. Can God use a murderer to write the Word of God? I guess he can. You know, I think perhaps the most unused resource of potential service is people in our minds we've written off, we've discarded, we placed an asterisk next to their name and thought, you know, God really can't use them now. Well, God doesn't feel that way. God can use you, and God can use me. And let that be a comforting feeling as you have a fresh beginning. Finally, let's talk about the consequential freeing. The consequential freeing of a fresh beginning. In John chapter 3, we have a fellow by the name of Nicodemus. He sneaks out by night to go talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has something on his heart. He's been watching the Lord do all these miracles. And he comes to the Savior and he says, Master, Rabbi, these miracles that you're doing, you must be of God. Nobody could be doing this stuff. Jesus completely ignores the compliment. And in verse 3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 7, he gets personal to Nicodemus. He says, "Verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." You know, I can't think of a more adequate description of what I'm talking about here than that expression the Lord used of being born again. Getting a fresh start, a rebirth. You see, the Bible says in the condition we are before we're born again, we're dead. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you hath he quickened." who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened. The word quickened means brought back to life. Not physically, but spiritually. We're born spiritually dormant, defunct, dead, if you will. And the Bible says, and you hath he quickened or brought back to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. He didn't say you were ailing or sick or wavering, but dead in trespasses and sin. If you've never been born again, you're dead spiritually. When you are born again, it's a whole new life. And we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was visiting with some folks from Crookston before the service and thinking about the old stomping grounds and the building that I got saved in over 39 years ago when I was born again on that Thursday night in Crookston. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that means saved or born again. That's what happened to me that night. It says, he is a new creature. I've never been the same. I just can't get over it. And the Bible says, old things are passed away, and they did. And behold, all things are become new. Have you ever been born again? Can you point to a time in your life, whether you're here today or you're watching online, where you realized you had never been saved? You were a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, that your sins were an offense to a holy God, that you needed to change your mind or repent of those sins and place all your faith in Jesus Christ. Have you had a salvation experience? It's life-changing. If you had, you would know it. It is the pivotal point of your life. Everything before that is before. Everything after that is after. This is the pivotal point of your life. You were saved. That's salvation. And by the way, it comes from the Greek word. We get salvage from it. Salvage. Let that sink in for a moment. God wants to salvage a life. You say, oh, but pastor, you don't know what I've done. I mean, I blaspheme God. I'm a reprobate. It's unpardonable. Well, if a person's still concerned about it, they're salvageable. They're salvageable. And on top of that, God knows what we are. God realizes what we are. He knows you. But he still offers you forgiveness. We read in Ezekiel 36, 26, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, a soft heart, a new heart. That's what happens when you get saved. You get rid of that old stony heart, you get this tender heart. Now, as we talk about new beginnings, maybe you're a born-again Christian today, but you've stumbled. Maybe you stumbled out of the gate. Maybe you've stumbled recently. Maybe you're struggling in some way. Maybe you're burdened in some way. Maybe you're fearful today. Maybe you're just dazed at what's going on in your life at this time. And maybe you're running on fumes. And maybe I'm describing you right now. Well, you know, the book of the Revelation is a tremendous book in the Bible that describes what lies ahead for a child of God. We call it heaven. Heaven. And in Revelation 21:4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, watch this, for the former things are passed away. That's the fantastic future for a child of God, heaven. I read this last week. It would be a want ad for heaven. This is how it would read. Free, beautiful homes to be given away in a perfect city with 100% pure water, free. No light bills, perpetual lighting, permanent pavement, nothing undesirable, everything new, perfect health, immunity from accidents, the best of society, beautiful music, free transportation. Secure a contract today for the new Jerusalem. Doesn't that sound good? Aren't you looking forward to that? I'm really looking good for that. Now, let me just say, if you're weary today, just keep doing right. Just keep doing right. You can't go wrong if you're doing right. Does that make sense? Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. Don't be a Martha, careful and troubled about many things. Oh, no, the sky's falling. Oh, no, no. We don't need any Chicken Little spiritually. God's still on the throne. And our time on this earth is so limited. You know what, folks? I am more convinced than ever. I don't know about you. I look at world events, and I'm more convinced than ever it will be in my lifetime. And we'll see. But while I live the rest of my days out, and while you live the rest of your days out, just remember, we serve a God of new beginnings. And in Revelation 21:5 again, the Bible says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Amen. Can we read our text together one more time? In Isaiah 43 and in verse 18, God says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Thank God for that. Thank God for a fresh beginning.
You've been listening to Pastor Tony Skeving of the Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. If you would like a CD of today's message, you can obtain one by sending a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. That address again, Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. We hope you'll join Pastor Skeving next time right here on Pulpit Power. Pulpit Power is a production of Heaven 88.7.